be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. In the first part of verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
Amen. Well, it's nice to see everybody here. And those who are online, I want to say welcome. A Sabbath day is welcome to you too. And Jenny, you know, you have taken away a whole bunch of fear since you dared to do something like that. You know, that's pretty daring. So anyways, I was glad for that. And you know, before, I just want to have a quick, short prayer. But before I do, I just want to say that you know, most of you remember Upenyu. He texted me this week and he said, I want you to know that I'm praying for you on Sabbath and I will be praying for all my friends there. So welcome from Upenyu and Tatenda. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been so nice to be here already and singing those songs. It just felt like we should just keep on singing and just keep praising you, Lord. And so we just want you to know that we really do want to see you someday soon. And Lord, please honor us with your presence. And thank you so much for your ability to open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your kindness to each one of us. Amen. The year was 1977. I'd only been a Christian just a short time. And the church was over there on Dutch Mill Road. And anyways, it was a really vibrant church. We had lots of people that were involved with activities, and especially when the social committee got together and planned something, it was like the old people, didn't matter how old, they were there. The little kids, they were there running around, and it was just a fun thing for me to come into at that time in my life. And the social committee had come up with an activity for the young adults. And what it was, it sounded great to me. It was a raft trip. Now, I'd never been canoeing, rafting, you know, but I wasn't afraid of the water, whatever. And this raft trip was going to be up on the Menominee Indian Reservation, the nation up there. It's like Kishina or something like that, where it started. And it was on the Wolf River. And, of course, we all met at the church, and we carpooled together. And it was like a three-hour trip up there. And the way that this trip had been presented to our social committee was that it was this five-hour-long, leisurely, you know, lazy river float type feel. Well, we were all anticipating how wonderful this was going to be. Some of our group, they brought their expensive cameras with because they were sure that floating down the river and seeing nature, you're going to take pictures. I mean, some of those ladies were really on the ball. They had picnic lunches packed and snacks and all this. And we got up there, and when the guys from the social committee went in to square everything away and get our rafts and everything, the business man said, well, I want you to know that because of how heavy the snow was this winter and how warm it has been, unseasonably warm for the spring, everything's just been melting and running, runoffs into the river and streams coming in, and the river, the level of the water is so high that the current is lots faster, and it's only going to take you about a little over 3 hours to get down the river. Well, some of the guys, they started wondering about that because some of their women didn't know how to swim. And even if you have a life jacket on, it's pretty scary if you don't know how to swim and you're out on a river. And so they were out, they were over checking out the map of the river, these men were. And they could see what was coming up ahead of us. But we all decided that, you know, we'd driven 3 hours, we'd already paid, let's go. And when you got in these rafts, and they were like two-man rafts, they weren't big things, and I remember they were yellow, and so most of them were just two people in, but there were three of us ladies that we decided to be in one raft together. And when you got in, when the groups got in, you went into like, it was almost like a holding pool. It was real peaceful waters, and you could get out there and you could just paddle around and get a little used to steering and all this. Well, when we got into ours, they told me, you be in the back and you steer, you drift. And I thought, okay, you know. So I'd be the one saying, okay, we need to go on the left side. We need to go on the right, you know. And after we were in this really nice, calm water, and everybody was in, because we wanted to stick together as a group, and everybody is in this little holding pond, we could see that the first thing we had to do to get started down the river was there were these, I'm going to call them soft rapids. They were just little, kind of like, you know, the stones were little, the water wasn't deep, but it was pretty long, but it was kind of fun, you know, and you just went down those, and you had to turn, the river turned as you went down, and so we went down that, and then we got on this clear river water, and we turned around to watch the rest of our group come down, and I could see that already some of the people were not excited about this. And I just thought, I don't think this is the worst ones we're going to come across. And I just thought, boy, this is going to be interesting for what we thought it was going to be. And anyways, we all wanted to stick together, but instantly we had guys that just took off like they were on a race. You know, they were just paddling. They were going to make sure they were the first ones to the end of the river, you know. And they just took off. And we had some of our group that they would paddle way over into the, you know, I don't know if they were taking pictures of bugs or what. But they were just, it was like people just started doing their own thing. And so there was two groups. We had two guys in this one and then us three ladies. And we just decided, well, I guess we'll just stick together, the two of us. And so we would paddle, and then we would, you know, just rest and let the current take us. And then the guys said to us, by the way, there are going to be quite a few rapids we have to go through. And I thought, I wonder what kind of rapids does he mean? You know, like you have these pictures of Colorado River, you know, from TV. And so I just thought, I wonder what that means. Well, it didn't take long before you could hear them, before you could see them. And that just, to me, was like, okay, guys, get to the middle of the river. You know, like I was like, we got to get in the middle so we can see exactly where the current is when we come across these rapids, because we got to figure out the right road to go down these rapids. So anyways, the first set, well, we got through them, but it was interesting how you could, these had some pretty big rocks in. And of course, you know how it is. It's like the water is just coming at these rocks from every direction. And we were trying to, you know, not wipe out, because you look like you could get hurt in that thing. And so here we were, and we made it through. And we had like one more set of rapids that we went through before the guys informed us. There's waterfall up ahead, but it's only like 7 feet. So anyways, I thought a waterfall. And anyways, so you could see it, you could feel it. The current started getting stronger as you get closer to a waterfall. And there's nothing you can do. And so you're just like, all I knew from being the one in charge of the steering is we can't go sideways over a river. So I was like constantly like trying to get this thing steered straight ahead. Let's hit this head on. Well, anyways, got through that and then had, I think, just a couple minor ones that didn't mean anything after the waterfall. And then there was three more that we were told about that were way at the end that they said, you don't have to go through these. You can turn off to the left and you can be picked up there and they'll drop you off where your cars are at the end of the river. And everybody in our group pulled off to the left and we stood looking. I can see it vividly in my mind, even though that was a long time ago. And the first set of rapids were white water rapids, just like you see on TV. And it was, the river had narrowed into like a canyon. And it was just cliffs on both sides. You couldn't see how long that was, but you could see how dangerous it was. And one of the ladies in our group, she said, no, I'm not going through that. And the other person with me, I would have gladly said, yeah, let's not. But she was like, oh, yeah, we can do this. Okay, if you're going to, I will too. But we are going to pray. And, you know, I started thinking of this when I started recalling this. And I thought, I wonder how God looks at us at times when we're doing certain things and we say, well, let's just pray about this, you know? And if he kind of looks over at our angel, says, they're new, get down there fast and protect them. Get down there, you know? And I thought about that and I thought, Lord, I think when we get to heaven, we are going to be amazed at some of the things that our angels tell us or share with us, or they kind of raise our eyebrows. Yeah, I remember that time, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, so I told my fellow passenger, I said, okay, but we're not going from this angle. We have to go back up the river a little bit, get turned around so that we come straight into this path that I know we have to hit because I can see it. I mean, it's really interesting how some things are just embedded in your brain. And anyways, that's what we did. We went up the river, we turned around, and we started coming through that. And you get to a certain place, and there is absolutely nothing you can do, any more paddling, any more anything. You're just at the mercy. And these were big boulders, and some of them were sharp-looking. And you just knew you could really get hurt bad. And anyways, we made it through. And the next set of rapids, I don't even remember. Just because that one with that canyon was so fearful to me. I mean, that was incredible that I don't remember the second one. But the very last one, you could also turn off to the left because that ended, rapids ended with a 12-foot waterfall. So anyway, we pulled off, people were pulling off again to the left, and we pulled off to the right to discuss what we were going to do and also to pray again. And these rapids were not like the ones we had gone through. They were much more subdued, but the whole river was just like rapids, and it was really, really fast at this point because of the waterfall. And so we decided we're going to do it. So again, I told her, now this is what we have to do. We're not going over that sideways or at an angle. And she said, okay. And we had our prayer, and we started paddling, and I was like, paddle, you know, I was telling her this stuff. And she took like two paddles and she put a death grip on that raft. And I was just paddling like crazy. But we got into the current that shifted us and we fell over, I guess it was a 12-foot. We fell over this waterfall and our raft literally bent in half. And I was behind the waterfall and I could see out of it, but I didn't know how long I could hold my breath. And all of a sudden, this raft just went poof, and it just spit us out up in the air. And we were through. And there were all these people standing over there, and all of our group that had been, they were watching us, you know, and they were cheering for us, and we were cheering, you know. But as I started thinking about this Wolf River, you know, God just brought it back to me as I was praying about what to talk about. And he just let me know how many times my life has been just like that Wolf River ride. When I started with Jesus, I was in that calm, peaceful pool, and I thought, this is wonderful. This is what my life is going to be because I gave my heart to Jesus. But it didn't take long before I was in some soft rapids, and the river was turning and declining, and my husband at that time, he didn't want to follow Jesus like I did. And I realized those were some soft rapids that I was going through. And then you get on this peaceful part of the river, and I realized that, hey, I could go with this and I'll handle it. Even though he still wanted the party, I could still, you know, maintain a household and all this stuff. But then all of a sudden, you know, you could, just like I could hear the rapids before they got there, sometimes we have this sense that we know that something is about to happen. Something's coming at us. Just like you hear those rapids before you see them. And I knew that things were not going to stay the same with my family the way it was. And when I hit my first rough rapids, that's when Tom informed me he was moving out. And at the time, I was pregnant with our third one. And those were some hard rapids to go through. But I'll tell you what, the waterfall was the divorce. And it drops off. And you know, I don't know what your rapids look like, but there are all kinds of things personally that come into our lives that cause rapids in our lives. And it can be fear, it can be a sickness, it can be money problems. There are just so many things that enter in to our lives, our daily lives, that cause us to really struggle and to know, is God going to get me through this? Like some of these rapids we went through, they were rough, but they were short. And some of the rapids we went through, I mean, it took a ways to get through them. It just kept going on and on and on and on. And you're like bouncing around and hitting all these rocks and stones. But eventually, you make it through those rapids. And when I look at my life, I realize that God has been there for me. He has taken me through. And just like this friend of mine, you know, like she only gave me about two paddles before she quit. Hey, your friends can't help you. Jesus is the only one. And you know, I started thinking about this trip, and I thought to myself, what if we'd have done this in the dark? What if we'd have been on this river at night? And I realized spiritually, there are so many people around us that they're going through their rivers, down their rapids, over their waterfalls, in the dark. They don't have Jesus. Jesus is the light. And I just keep thinking, we've got to think about what somebody else is struggling with and what they're dealing with and how, and just start praying, Lord, how can I help someone else that would love to love you if they only knew what you were really like? Help me, Lord, to let them see what you can do in their life. And I'll tell you what, as I was thinking about this and I was realizing how this river, this personal river in my life and what it's like, I started thinking about in the Bible how there are so many connections to rivers. And so I want you to turn with me, if you got your Bibles, to Joshua. And I'm going to read a few verses here in Joshua, the third chapter. And this is when the children of Israel, have come up to the Jordan River. And they're right at the edge of the Jordan. And I'm going to start in verse 1. of chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits to measure. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders before you, or among you, sorry. All right, and I look at this, and I'm like thinking, okay, spiritually, as a group, we are getting to the edge of this Jordan River. Now, the children of Israel, when they got there, they knew by the way the river looked that there was no way they were getting across that river unless God did something for them. And you know, as we look at the River Jordan we have to cross, I mean, we sing about it. We sing about the river and crossing the River Jordan and being in heavenly Canaan and all this. And as we're up to the edge of this river, we feel, we know that there is nothing we can do if God doesn't do a miracle for us. And when I look at these verses, like verse 3, it's very interesting because it says that they were commanded to watch the Ark of the Covenant. And we know what that typically means. It means the law of God. Those Ten Commandments were in that Ark. And the people were to watch the movement of the Ark and the priests. And friends, today I keep seeing and hearing different things that are going on against Ten Commandments and all this. It has been for years. And we're watching the movements of what's going on because God is going to, he is going to let us know by the movements of the Ark where we're at. And it's very interesting because where it says that you could only be like within 2,000 cubits, and I found out that's a half a mile. So they had to stay back from it so that they could see clearly the movements, where it was going to go, where they were supposed to go. And I think about that, and I think, you know, the reason they were told that is because it says that you have not passed this way before. Now, doesn't that sound like what you hear constantly from the news people? These are unprecedented times. We are in uncharted waters. It's like they're constantly saying that same thing, is that we've never been here before. We've never passed this way before. And to me, that just lets me know, hey, that's prophetic. We are at the river's edge. And you know, when you think about the river, you know, being so swollen, and if you think of that spiritually, why is what now is causing this Jordan, what's causing it to be swollen? And I started praying about that and just thinking. And think about the political division. That is like a stream that is running into our Jordan, our minds, our spiritual Jordan, and it's making that river seem wider and deeper. And how about the fear of financial collapse? That is like a stream or another river dumping into the widening of our spiritual Jordan. Like, how are we going to get across this? And then you think of COVID. I mean, just think of last year, what that was like. And the violence, and how about the social unrest that is happening? All these are like, they're the rivers that are running in to swell up this Jordan and to make rapids in our lives. And as we look at these, we realize that unless God does something, how are we ever going to get across this? How are we going to get through this? And if these streams, if you get caught or sucked into some stream that you get involved in, instead of your focus on crossing that river, you're going to get swept away. And the verse 5 is so interesting because Joshua says to the people, sanctify yourselves. Now, this last year of 2020, I really felt like using that time to really get real with God. Like, okay, Lord, please. And I started praying for the Holy Spirit like multiple times a day. And I kept wondering, I was studying, I was praying, I was like asking the Lord, you know, change my heart, give me the mind of Jesus. And I was praying and studying and praying. And I kept wondering, why aren't you doing something, Lord? Why am I still dealing with these same thoughts and directions that I get caught up in? And the Lord he's so gentle on us. The Lord very kindly brought a verse to my mind, and I can tell you where it's at. I think it's in Jeremiah. Yeah. And it says, your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and who can know it? And, you know, we can't see ourselves at all. And we can't see, you know, some people can't see what's going on in the head. And yet God, he sees it all. And I started asking him about it. Then show me, Lord, show me. What's my problem? Where am I at? Oh my, that is not a good thing to pray if you're really not strong at heart. Because I'm telling you, the Lord showed me not just problems. He showed me the root, the depth of my makeup. That sometimes, you don't know you're even thinking wrong because you've been that way your whole life. It's like, what do you mean? This is who I am. But then he starts showing you deeper and deeper and deeper your desperate need. And in the process of really struggling through, he starts offering you the gift of repentance. That is a free gift. And he like takes you through that repentance feeling. And it's not an easy thing to go through, but it's you and him, and he'll take you through. And it says if you confess, he will cleanse. And it's like the Lord has this ability to do all of it for us. And in the process, I just kept thinking, you know, when he stopped that river, the Jordan River, the ground became dry. And it wasn't just soldiers who went through, you know, went over to fight. There were older men, not too old, because most of them had died in the wilderness, but there were older men. There were women with little babies. There were children. There were animals. It was like he brought the whole group across, not just the ones who were maybe mighty for the Lord. He brought the whole group with. It was a group that just loved him and were following him. And he is promising that soon we are going to see him do wonders among us if we just start getting real with sanctifying ourselves before him and just asking him, Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be with you. I want what you can do in my life. I want that. And that leads me to river number 3. And, before I go there, I'm going to read a text that I found long ago that just is, it just goes along here perfectly, and it's Jeremiah 12:5. And it says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein you trust, they weary thee, how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? Friends, that text speaks boldly to us. You know, if your life has been really peaceful, and hey, praise the Lord if it has been, and you're still struggling over whether or not you want him to run in your life or rule in your life, he's asking you, you know, if you're struggling now when things are relatively easy, what are you going to do when those last few rapids that are whitewater ones are coming at you and a waterfall? What are you going to do? You have got to make sure that your heart is so right with God that he has taken you through the cleansing. And he will do it if you want him to, but it's not fun. And the last one is Revelation 22. This is a good one, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses. Revelation 22, 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. There is no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And when I think about this picture and what it's showing us. You know, we have rivers here that you can go stand on the bank of a river and like went down a Wolf River, you can go over to the Jordan River, but this river is an eternal river and its place is in heaven. And it comes from God's throne. And I started thinking about that, how, you know, Jesus spoke to a rock. Or I mean, Moses spoke to a rock and it split and the water came out. And here's, you know, we know that God, it's God's holy mountain, where God's on this mountaintop. It seems in your mind when you read certain things. And here's this water, this river of crystal clear, river of life, you know, flowing from where God is at. And, you know, it's interesting to me that the tree of life, you know, it's the river of life, the tree of life. And it began in Genesis, in the garden, at a tree where God said, don't eat from that tree. You'll be sorry. Well, now here we come full circle and we're in heaven. And God says, here's the tree of life. Come and eat. You know, and every month I want you guys to come and take part in this tree. And you know, when I woke up this morning, at 5 a.m, the Lord woke me up, and what was going through my mind is something I had thought about yesterday when it says the leaves for the healing of the nations, and I thought, yeah, I don't understand that part of this. And I woke up at 5 a.m. with these thoughts about the leaves going through my mind, and I thought, are we going to make tea out of those leaves? You know, like sometimes we're told tea has this medicinal, you know, properties in it. Or maybe the leaves are shaped in such a way that they're like a little cup and you can scoop the water and drink out of them. And I was just going through my mind with this, and what are these leaves and the healing of the nations? And you know, I heard one of our speakers talk, and he said when the Bible uses the word nations like that, he's talking about different people groups and different races. And I started realizing, you know, as I have tried to enter into all that is going on, and I started realizing that, you know, God is very tangible. He is not like a genie that once this is all over, he's going to snap his fingers and now we're all going to be this one way. That's not how it's going to work. And he's showing us right here that these leaves, they're going to have some kind of a healing way of helping us to learn. I'm going to read it because I wrote it down, like I say, early this morning. It's going to help us to gain insight into what other groups around us have had to deal with, what Satan has suppressed them with. It's going to help us, each group, to understand and respect each other and to have that knowledge that we lack right now. The only thing we can do right now is say, Lord, I want to be like you, so help me to be loving and kind. But there will come a time when we're going to understand what the devil has done to each separate nation, group, peoples, and how he has suppressed, how he has caused any of us to feel like we are inferior, to feel like we're superior, to feel like we just do not understand what other people are going through. And I started realizing that what God is going to do with this is we're going to see so clearly how Satan has untiringly been against every race. And he has tried so hard to cause division in every possible way he can. He has caused hatred to start. He's caused miscommunication. He has caused us to mistrust, to misjudge, to condemn, to categorize, to suppress, whether it's ourselves or someone else, and to think we can never make it there, and to cause disunity to just be everywhere. And when we get to this spot in heaven, at this river of life, this tree of life, this healing of the nations, we are going to have love and freedom explode. We can't know now. We can do the best we can. We can love the best we can. But we cannot know until God just really heals all the broken parts in us that sin has caused. And we don't know where anybody else is at, what they've grown up with, what they've come through. But then we're going to understand differently, and our love, our empathy, our kindness, our caring is going to just be free to be what we were always meant to be and what we always want to be and can't seem to produce it. And so I know that our time, you know, it's running late. But anyways, friends, my thought is start picturing yourself and your loved ones. And if you've got loved ones who just don't seem to care about Jesus, you just keep praying for them, because I'll tell you what, the Lord can speak really loud when he decides to speak to somebody in your behalf or just to let them know that they've been spoken to by the Lord. They will know it. So you keep praying and picture yourself and picture your loved ones beside you at that river in heaven. And I want to end with these two verses. And that's 22, 20, and 21. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Our last song is Shall We Gather at the River. Please stand with me.
Heavenly Father, Lord, with grateful hearts, we think about that time when we can honestly be in heaven with you and with each other. And Lord, as we stand here as a collective group, we pray, dear Lord, not one person here is lost. And also, Lord, we pray for our loved ones. Please, Lord, may you find a way to reach each heart. We love you, Lord. We look so forward to being there that day and for it being a reality. Dear Jesus, thank you for what you've done, for us to make a way so that heaven is open to us. We love you. Bless us for the rest of your Sabbath hours. In your holy name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.